Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
King Charles III and Queen Camilla.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you His Majesty Charles III.
I would like, if I may, to take this opportunity to express my particular gratitude to you all for the great honor of addressing this joint meeting of Congress, and on behalf of the Queen and myself, to thank the American people for welcoming us to the United States to mark this semi-quincentennial year of the Declaration of Independence.
Hey, we know y'all and broke up with us, but here we are to celebrate. It was a minute ago, 250 years ago, but still, people remember. By the way, this has been this was a historic moment because this is only the second time that a royal monarch from Britain has come to speak. The last time was the Queen, who came to speak in 91. So it's been 14, 40, at least 3 years since what, 36, 35 years since this was done before. Big deal yesterday. Can I start with the one thing about this speech that I thought was actually the weirdest thing?
The joint meeting will come to order. The chair appoints his members of the committee on the part of the House to escort His Majesty Charles III.
Every single person who comes here, like they listed the list of
into the chamber. The gentleman from Louisiana, Mr. Scalise. The gentleman from Minnesota, Mr. Emmer. The gentlewoman from Michigan, Mrs. McLean.
And it just went on.
The gentleman from North Carolina, Mr.
And
Hudson.
On.
The gentleman from Pennsylvania.
And on for 2 minutes, listing off all the different people who were part of the escort party. You know, the also-rans. You know, the pallbearers, like, you know, could we not get him a chair they could carry in on their shoulders? I mean, it was weird. Like, he's just a king. He didn't even win an election. Not any election, ever. He's never even run. And here we are like, oh, yeah, king, listen to him. He doesn't represent anybody. He probably can't even vote. You know, like, why are we going so far out of our way to celebrate a guy whose country we broke up with 250 years ago? It's weird. John, am I wrong?
No, it's you're weird. Not wrong. It is weird.
Oh,
he was like
king.
My great-grandfather.
Yeah, the best thing he ever did was he got born. Listen, no offense to everybody's different way of selecting leaders or monarchs or figureheads or whatever, but, you know, the racism of royalty is a problem. You know, the hereditary monarchy. I have spread my seed, and thus I have made your next crown bearer. Like, it's a nutty system. Now, I know there's a sense in which we honor other countries and their way of doing things, but, you know, what does this mean to me? Nothing. Now, you put all... And I do. I get my my hackles up a little bit when you start making me pay attention to the guy that, again, we broke up with them real hard. Real hard. 250 years ago. And our way of celebrating our breakup is to invite the ex-wife over for dinner and to tell us what to think about the world. It's odd, okay? Nevertheless, it was a pretty good speech.
And for all of that time, our destinies as nations have been interlinked. As Oscar Wilde said, we have really everything in common with America nowadays, except, of course, language.
That's a great line by Oscar Wilde, who was a complete hot mess as a person, but very clever as a writer, I think is probably the most succinct way to say that.
We meet, too, in the aftermath of the incident not far from this great building that sought to harm the leadership of your nation and to foment wider fear and discord. Let me say with unshakable resolve, such acts of violence will never succeed.
Yeah, it's a good moment of solidarity just a couple of days after somebody tried to kill the president again, right? So,
standing here today, it is hard not to feel the weight of history on my shoulder, because the modern relationship between our two nations and our own peoples spans not merely 250 years, but over four centuries.
And that's a long time to think about having a history. Not all of it the most popular and the most happy, right?
It is extraordinary to think that I am the 19th in our line of sovereigns to study with daily attention the affairs of America.
And that also is a long history because, you know, they've been paying attention to us. I'll tell you just a little vignette. If you've never traveled much abroad, I worked as a bartender in England, actually in London, for outside of London, for about 4.5 months one time, just after I graduated college, and then we traveled for 6 weeks. So it's like you get a six-month visa, and, you know, you work, you save, you have fun, you get enough money to travel for 6 weeks, and that's what I did. And I thought it was the best reduction of the relationship between the UK and the USA is that if you listen, like if you ask people in the UK, just kind of ask them what they think of the US, you know, they moan about us, they complain about us, they make fun of us, they still have kind of contempt for us, you know, as like the ugly stepchildren that, you know, left the house and, you know, weren't nice and leaving, you know, and they think they're smart and they have a long history and there's just, I mean, which is okay, that's fine. You know, every country has its aloof superiority that they feel towards the world. You feel that way about Mexico and France and Italy. I mean, it's normal for any country to feel that way. But what I realized was when I was working at the bar, they would kind of talk, and they'd express it to me because I'm an American, right? But then if you go around the bar, and I remember doing this vividly one time, I was kind of just wandering from table to table, just conversation, picking up glasses and listening. And like 80% of the conversations were about the United States. So they resent and judge and sort of have contempt for, but they're obsessed with us. You know, so which it's just kind of an interesting thing to realize about, which is true of a lot of the world. OK, but it's definitely true of the UK.
So I come here today with the highest respect for the United States Congress, this citadel of democracy created to represent the voice of all American people to advance sacred rights and freedoms.
Ooh, I love that phrase, citadel of democracy. Oh, it sure is, though.
Now, as you may know, when I address my own parliament at Westminster, we still follow an age-old tradition and take a member of parliament hostage.
I kind of love that. You know, to make sure we get our king back, right?
Holding him or her at Buckingham Palace until I am safely returned.
No, no, no. You keep him, we keep yours.
These days, we look after our guests rather well, to the point that they often do not want to leave.
Well, where would you rather stay, in Parliament or in the King's Palace?
I don't know, Mr. Speaker, if there were any volunteers for that role here today.
Yeah, the first two, three passes at that joke were funny. The fourth one, you know, but that's fine. You know, no big deal.
With the spirit of 1776 in our minds, we can perhaps agree that we do not always agree, at least in the first instance. Indeed, the very principle on which your Congress was founded, no taxation without representation, was at once a fundamental disagreement between us, and at the same time, a shared democratic value, which you inherited from us.
You know, this is, first of all, he's absolutely correct. But also, it's a little pandery. But it's okay. It's okay. What he's saying is that, look, you revolted against us on the basis of taxation without representation, among other things. And that's true. And you broke away from us. But also, you learned that from us. You used our own principles against us when we were failing to live up to them. And I didn't quite say the when we failed to live up to them part. But, yeah, this is accurate. We owe our identity to the UK, to Britain, of course. And we owe our tradition of law and human rights to the Magna Carta and British common law. And, you know, We're a fundamentally British society at root, although we have incorporated a lot of other things. We're not fundamentally a French society or an Italian society. You know, we have French, we have Italians, we have Germans, we have Chinese and Mexicans, but we are fundamentally a British society. At the very most, a European, but really not even that. And that was the purpose of this speech, right? The purpose of this speech was to connect us and to say how much we have in common and to remind a president that, that, you know, the UK and the USA have, I mean, a real shared history and future, the entire destiny. Western democracy is really in our hands, not just our hands, the USA, but in our hands, you know, with the two acronym countries, UK and USA.
Ours is a partnership born out of dispute, but no less strong for it. So perhaps in this example, we can discern that our nations are in fact instinctively like-minded, a product of the common democratic, legal, and social traditions in which our governance is rooted to this day.
Yeah, absolutely true.
As President Trump himself observed during his state visit to Britain last autumn, the bond of kinship and identity between America and the United Kingdom is priceless and eternal. It is irreplaceable and unbreakable.
And by the way, that idea, and I said pander, but you know, think about you as a parent. If you have kids that have grown up and left the house, sometimes the things that you fought the most about, and then you realize later, oh, that's who I am. And then they fulfill the thing you fought to suppress in them. And then it turns out that, oh gosh, they're actually showing me that I should be better. You know, like that's what we did. That's, you know, in the revolution, we showed England, you know, hey, you're not doing this right. We're going to do it even better. And then they learned how to do it more like we did it. I mean, they didn't get rid of their monarch, but real close. You know, he doesn't control much at all, right? So they are more governed by democratic principles than we are. Than they used to be, not quite as much as we are, but still, you know, much more. They've come more to our side. And, you know, he didn't really acknowledge that, but it certainly is true. It's kind of an awkward thing for a king to be like, you guys know I'm just a figurehead, though, right? Because, and by the way, it's an interesting note about monarchy in general that there are kind of two views of what would produce a great leader. View number one, let's call it the American view, is we just let people do whatever they're going to do, and then we ask people who want to lead, and then they come to us and they ask us to vote for them to lead, and then we pick the person that we think is the best at it. I mean, in some ways, it's a crazy system, right? The idea of electing a president, let's say. Let's consider the president the closest thing we have to a king, okay? Obviously, they're not, but, you know, despite the protests. Oh, I did think it was funny, John. Did you see all the No Kings protests in D.C. yesterday?
Yes, I did.
No, there weren't any.
I know. That's why I was like.
We have an actual king in town, and all of the no kings people are like, no, I got nothing to say about that. Oh, and even worse, what some people have said is, so the Democrats have been the no kings protesters. What'd they do? Well, they stood up and applauded for the king many times yesterday in the joint session. Anyway, I digress. The president is somebody we pick on the basis of whoever volunteers. And then can raise money and generate votes and, you know, captivate our attention. And right, I mean, it's a weird system. What makes them competent at their job? You know, a lot of people think they are. But those people themselves are not competent at the job. I could not be the president. I'd be terrible as president. You'd be terrible as president. Most people would be terrible as president. And yet, the people who would be terrible at the job are tasked with picking the person who's supposed to be good at the job. When's that ever happened? I mean, think like you got Keela Richardson doing great on American Idol, right? What if the people who were on the panel weren't, you know, Lionel Richie, okay, and Luke Bryan? Is that right? Okay, these country people don't mean anything to me. If it was Keith Urban, I'd be like, okay, it's a different name. Anyway, so we have experts, Carrie Underwood, right? Experts, singers, musicians, competent, capable. Authorities. What if the American Idol panelists were like Jim the Barber? No offense to Jim. He does a good haircut, but what's he know about music? He doesn't play an instrument. He doesn't sing except in the shower and then badly. I mean, democracy in a way is like if American Idol judges were all just, you know, the street sweeper, the radio host, you know? It doesn't make any sense. Not really. you want to have experts making the decision. So democracy is crazy. Well, Andrew, don't you know that the popular vote in America, I know, that's why it's crazy. It's a little bit weird. But okay, back to the king. The other way to pick a leader, a monarch, a president, whatever, is to, from their birth, teach people, we're going to build you to be a leader. We're going to educate you. We're going to teach you language. We're going to teach you, you know, how to carry yourself, how to, you know, be wise, philosophy, the kind of old Greek philosopher kings concept from, you know, if you remember your, the Republic, which you probably hadn't read in 30 or 40 years, that's okay. I'm here to remind you. You build somebody to be capable of great leadership. And, I mean, this, you know, King Charles has been born and bred literally to be the king. Now, of course, it's weird because they built him to be the king and all he gets to do is, like, you know, wear the crown and look sweet and go make speeches and no power. But that's a very different way to manufacture a leader, by design, as opposed to, oh, you went to business school? Here, want to be president? You know, like, that's a weird system. Anyway, just a thought is that the differences between them are interesting. You know, the expert-crafted product or the one that a whole lot of people who also have social media accounts like. It's weird. All right, well, that's my pass at this for now. We'll come back to this throughout the day because it was an interesting speech. And, I mean, it is historic. We've only had this happen two times in the history of the country that a monarch comes. You know, his mom came and he came, you know, just following his mama's footsteps. 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 when Jessica Simpson, the president of the Pensacola Beach Chamber, will be talking about the Art and Wine Festival, what makes this year's event different from previous years, and the Chamber's partnership with the Pensacola Beach Lifeguards. That's all tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jessica Simpson and the Pensacola Beach Chamber.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates Andrew McKay on being the only broadcaster to make Florida's 50 over 50 list for 2026. For more than a decade, Andrew has kept Escambia and Santa Rosa counties informed, covering local meetings, interviewing officials, and breaking down big stories that matter. He takes pride in keeping the community informed and making sense of the headlines that shape our daily lives. It's a well-earned honor for a voice our community trusts every morning. Congratulations, Andrew, from News Radio 92.3.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
You chose poorly.
One of the, it's a little-ish story, but it's actually one of my favorite stories from yesterday. Waterfront Rescue Mission, you know, great local charity helping homeless people, now helping homeless women, you know, helping people recover from medical stuff, which is one of the big issues, is that when people are, you know, post-medical, post-op, when they leave the hospital, where do they go? And then they try to recover and recuperate in some, you know, woods somewhere. I mean, it doesn't really work. So anyway, they're one of the, there's about five or six local charities that we give our money to, and that they are one of them for sure. They're now expanding with a dog kennel. They put out this press release yesterday or the day before, I forget. It was a story Channel 3 had done on this yesterday, but they're going to build a dedicated dog kennel at the Pensacola campus. And basically, it's going to have 8 dog runs with outside elements, so it can handle up to 16 dogs, and it'll only be for men who, or I suppose women, who are actively receiving services at Waterfront, because you don't want to make a barrier between getting help, the fact that they can't take an animal inside. You know, a lot of homeless people, you see them on the, you know, panhandling or whatever, they have an animal. Clay Romano, the president, CEO, for many men and women who serve, their pet isn't just a companion. Too often, it's family. Too often, people have no choice but to remain on the street rather than abandon one thing that's never abandoned them, and this kennel changes that. I love it. I love it. It's a great concept. I love the execution. It's just, you know, making a good thing even better.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa King Charles, headlining a special event at the White House.
This was the first white tie state dinner since George W. Bush hosted Queen Elizabeth back in 2007. So the dinner was another moment for King Charles to highlight the shared history between the U.S. and the U.K. as he tries to repair the strained ties between the two nations.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, President Trump upset with the U.K. for their lack of support for the war in Iran. Royal couple travels to New York City today. The king and queen will visit the 9/11 memorial in Lower Manhattan. War Secretary Pete Hegseth, America's top general Dan Kane, appeared before the House Armed Services Committee this morning. They want lawmakers to greenlight the Pentagon's $1.5 trillion budget for 2027. That's the largest request in U.S. history, but expect plenty of questions about the conflict with Iran. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 72 degrees with cloudy skies this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast with Marion Caldwell. That's up in just a few minutes. Four F-35 fighter jets from Eglin Air Force Base flew over the White House this week as part of the official welcome for King Charles and Queen Camilla. The jets came from the 58th and 60th Fighter Squadrons of the 33rd Fighter Wing. Eglin is one of only two main F-35 pilot training bases in the country. The F-35 program is a joint effort shared between the United States, the United Kingdom, and other allies. A 25-year-old Escambia County mail handler has been indicted on federal charges, including mail theft and drug possession. DeVincent M. Madison Jr. faces charges of delaying or destruction of U.S. mail, theft of mail by a postal employee, and possession with intent to distribute marijuana. Each count carries up to 5 years in prison. Madison's set to go on trial May 18th in Pensacola. Well, as Governor DeSantis continues signing execution warrants at an accelerated pace, former governor, current Senator Rick Scott, says he understands the weight of that responsibility firsthand. He says it was never something that he took lightly.
When I ran in 2010, I never even knew I haven't had any involvement in executions. And so the approach I took is I went through the cases. I think there were about 400 people on death row. And I went through the cases to make sure the worst cases, I looked at those. I looked at the length of time people had been on death row. I looked at the chance that, you know, it would not be upheld, because it still has to go, has to be a final review by the U.S. Supreme Court and the state Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And so it's a solemn duty, and it's not something that I cherish.
Scott says Florida has roughly 400 people on death row, and that when he was governor, he prioritized the most egregious cases first. And he says he supports the death penalty as the law of the state, and says those who disagree do have the option to pursue legislative change. Well, Republican lawmakers in Tallahassee are moving ahead with an overhaul of Florida's congressional districts. House and Senate committees approved a new map Tuesday over Democrat objections. Democrats are calling it an unconstitutional gerrymander designed to help the GOP hold the U.S. House in next year's midterms. The plan could shift Florida's congressional delegation from its current 20-8 Republican advantage to 24-4. Governor Ron DeSantis is recognizing those who've helped preserve the Everglades. He presented four people with the Governor's Medal of Freedom yesterday. Paul Tudor Jones II, Nat Reed, George Barley, and Mary Barley each got one of the highest honors in the state. The governor said they each played a vital role in protecting and restoring the Everglades and left a lasting legacy. Tudor and George Barley co-founded the Everglades Foundation. Mary Barley was a founding director there. 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our forecast with Marion Caldwell.
Warm and muggy to start your Wednesday morning with temperatures in the 70s. This afternoon, highs climb into the low 80s. Weather will be mostly dry today before rain chances increase late this evening and into the overnight. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
And we've got 72 degrees with cloudy skies right now. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are up this morning by more than 3% as Iran war worries keep markets on edge, but the Strait of Hormuz staying shut. West Texas Intermediate currently hovering at roughly 103, Brent at nearly 115. The Pentagon is expanding the list of AI labs it's working with after blacklisting Anthropic. The Pentagon's chief digital and artificial intelligence officer, Cameron Stanley, said on CNBC, quote, over-reliance on one vendor is never a good thing. The DOD has tapped Google's Gemini for classified work. Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company, the world's largest contract chip maker, has sold its remaining stake in Arm Holdings. A company filing says that its subsidiary, TSMC Partners, sold just over 1.1 million Arm shares at $207.65 each for a total of about $231 million. Futures are mixed ahead of the Fed's interest rate decision later this afternoon. On Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 25. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, I'm Andrew. McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, kind of a rare one. I get used to him being in studio, but he's coming back from an event over in Tallahassee for Law Enforcement Memorial. Welcome back, sir. Good to have you. How was the event in Tallahassee?
Oh, it was done very well. We went to two different memorial ceremonies. As some of your listeners may remember, we had to add one of our deputies, Jeremy Cassidy, who was actually shot 15 years ago in line of duty, and then he succumbed to his injuries last year. So we added Jeremy Cassidy to the list of the fallen deputies, and we were able to go to what I guess is the state or the Fraternal Order of Police ceremony, which was at a civic center in Tallahassee, and then later on we went to the Florida Sheriff's Association, a ceremony where he was added to that wall as well. So we have, we're just now heading back because we had a late night of meetings and such with other sheriffs on some boards that I'm on, and now I'm heading back to work. I'll be in shortly.
Any news from those meetings that we would want to know about?
No, a lot of our conversation was about health benefits, about sovereign immunity, and some of the bills that would affect or could potentially affect the fees that we pay for insurance rates.
Oh, okay. All right. So the bureaucratic stuff that is not particularly fun to talk about, but absolutely is important to get solved just the right way. You know, my brain works a little bit weird, and I have an odd question to ask you, just because you're driving back from Tallahassee. When do you finally feel like you're home? Like, is it crossing into Escambia, crossing into Santa Rosa, crossing Okaloosa? You know, like, because I know for me, I feel like I'm home when I cross into Santa Rosa County, because now I'm in my two-county area. I know both the sheriffs. I know all the elected officials. Like, this is my home. But I'm wondering, like, you're the, you know, you're a Scambie. Well, you've lived here your whole life. When do you feel like you're home coming west from Tallahassee?
Probably when I see the bridge heading from Santa Rosa to Escambia County.
All right, the I-10 bridge. Okay.
I usually like to wait until I'm in my jurisdiction, and then I know I'm home. So if I see something, I can make a traffic stop, or I can call somebody, you know, to help me out without having to, you know, give a courtesy call to Bob Johnson. So usually it's me. It's whenever I round the corner there and I can see the bridge right there. That takes me into Escambia County.
Okay. I kind of figured that might be your answer, but I was, you know, and it makes sense. You're in your full plenary power as, you know, the executive over the agency here, and they're your people. They have to come if you call. Whereas, you know, it's, you're not asking if you're in, you know, but in Santa Rosa, you have to ask. That's interesting. That's why I ask. We've had a couple of pretty bad incidents, not that many, but at least one, one killed and two shot at the 850. It looks like 850 at 850 event center. This is pretty close to the headquarters, right? It's kitty corner to you guys on the northwest corner, but it's off Pace or Fairfield. It's like buried back in the woods back there somewhere. What happened here?
Well, it's Delano. I think it's one block to the north of Fairfield there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there was an argument. I guess there were some people that had been to an event there. They were filtering outside, and then there was a fight of some sort that led to gunfire. And as you mentioned, one individual lost their life, another person was injured. We're certainly investigating it. We put an individual out on our social media platform that we want to talk to. Right now, he's considered a person of interest. If you know where 21-year-old Trenton Michael Mason is, we would like to talk to him. We have not yet. He's not come forward. He hasn't come and talked to us and told us what he knows yet. So we're putting information out so that people can share it and let us know where we can find it.
Is that, it's not a, I'd never heard of this place before. Is that a place that has a habit, a history of being trouble, or, you know, you tell me, I just don't even know.
Well, I can tell you this is the second homicide we've had in that location within the last year. They typically hire an off-duty deputy that works there. I don't know if this was before or after the deputy was working there, but we also have had a camera in that area, whether it's in that camera, whether it's in what used to be the Cumberland Farms right there, or even in the air, in a parking lot of McDonald's. All three of those kind of are near each other.
Yeah.
So is it safe to say we've had some issues there? I think that two homicides in a year is certainly, I think, would qualify as some issues. We have had a conversation. We actually met with management after the last one. And as soon as I walk in the door, I will work on getting another meeting with him, with them as well.
There was a bomb threat of some sort at Beulah Middle School yesterday. Anything of note? What do we know?
I know it was some nut job calls in and says that he had some homemade bombs, you plant them in the school, and it's going to blow up within a certain time period. And we take these very serious. Obviously, the safety of our children is very important to us, and we work very well with the school district. I was actually on the phone with our superintendent, Keith Leonard, and we were talking about the response of the deputies. We're also talking about the response of the personnel at the schools. And I think that your listeners will be glad to know that we coordinate very well together. And again, I think it's important to note that the safety of the children, even if we don't necessarily believe it, we want to make sure that the children are safe. And so they put them in a safe spot. We asked for help with Santa Rosa County as a bomb dog, or had a bomb dog that was available. And I have to say thank you to them. They brought their bomb dog over. They searched the school, and then they put the kids back to learning. So it was all about nothing, but it is one of those things that we have to take serious, and we will do that every time.
You guys had a robbery? Was it overnight at, I think it was at Creighton and Lanier with the Cumberland Farms?
Yeah, it goes down as a robbery. Someone was trying to buy some tobacco, but he had a hood on, and the clerk wasn't having any of it. And then he got angry, went behind the counter, started taking things. I think he implied he had a weapon, and then he left the store. So it's we consider it a robbery. There's probably more to it. We'll have to review the video and determine exactly what, if it's a robbery by sudden snatching, is it shoplifting, it is an assault, or is it a robbery? We're going to do some more evaluating. And certainly we're going to look to see who did this. So we should have a video of it, and we may well put some pictures of the individual that may have done it, even if he's in a mask. Some people may recognize the clothing, the gait, or whatever they can to identify this individual.
And I just want to clarify, not about this case, but my understanding of the law. There are kind of three different scenarios. In scenario one, in the commission of a robbery, you have a weapon but don't show it, use it, or threaten it. Situation number two, you have a weapon and you use it or show it, at least. And then situation number three is you don't have a weapon, but you say you have one. All three are bad in slightly different ways, right?
Yeah, all three are felonies, and you can go to prison for a long time with all of them. Obviously, if you pull or brandish a weapon or point a weapon or shoot a weapon, that's going to get you probably more time. But you can't. A lot of times people will walk in and they'll, like, pull the shirt up so you can see a weapon. That's just as good as pulling it out to us. But there are times when people make threats to harm somebody, but they may not have a weapon. So, we're looking at this one. It's clear this guy was up to no good because he went behind the counter and he caused the employee to flee. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, there was some things going on there that can't be. At the very minimum, it's felony shoplifting type of thing, but I would think we got an aggravated assault in our hands.
There's supposedly, I don't know, I've seen the rumors that there's some beach takeover coming this Saturday. Are you guys, you going to be okay? You going to handle this all right?
Yeah. Well, I think we will. You know, what happened is this is the new thing. People will get online and they'll have an open invitation, or they'll talk about how great it's going to be. And it's not just here, it's everywhere. And then you see what happens in some of these other locations, and you think, okay, are we prepared for that to happen here? Can we adequately police an event like that? I can tell you that we're very aware of this post. Whether it is a true post or someone just messing around, we don't know yet, but we are following up on it. We certainly know who made the post. We're going to be in contact with him, hold them accountable for the overtime. If it comes to fruition, we're going to hold them accountable for the event itself. And if people are parked in improperly, we can charge them double for towing their car away. And as you can imagine, we are going to have plenty of deputy presence there. We're also watching the weather. It's supposed to rain that day, but we're going to be prepared. We're certainly aware of the invitation, and we're going to try our best to have a conversation with this individual and let him know that you can't just loosely put invitations like this together, because if someone gets hurt, I'm going to try everything I can to bring charges on you for starting this mess.
Very good. I appreciate that. The Flock camera system, you and I have talked about this a little bit in the past. It's come up quite a bit in the city, of course. And, you know, one of the questions that I had about this was access of other agencies to your Flock camera data. I know it's connected to the real-time crime center for you guys, but let's say the Broward County Sheriff or FHP or, you know, ICE, I mean, whoever, or, you know, Santa Rosa, doesn't matter. You know, if somebody wants information from your Flock camera system, how does that work?
They ask us for it. We only have a handful of people that have access to the ICE database anyways that can input a tag. And we have some pretty strict standards and protocols for that. So if another agency wanted to know if a car is coming through here or some information on historical information on a vehicle, a tag, then they would ask us. They would ask us for permission, and then we would run that and give them that information. So it's not they can't just reach in and grab the information from our system. They have to ask for it.
And that's what I wanted to know, because I thought it's being portrayed as if, you know, everybody everywhere has access and they can just look it up on their own. And that's what I thought is you guys are gatekeepers essentially of your own camera system. And then in the like subject line,
you can offer. Excuse me, Andrew. You can offer to do that. You can set your protocol
open
so that other people can do that. But this case we had where a lady was. That had a child and we were really looking for her. We were kind of pinging all agencies locally so that they can't put that information on their system. So, and obviously if we have a Amber Alert from Tallahassee or from Panama City, then we're going to look them up. We're going to allow them access to our system to look for that particular vehicle. So, but it is by request only the way our system is set up. And they have to do that every time.
And in the subject line, I know Chief Winstrom was talking about this. You have to put in do you guys have a policy? You have to put in a case number so it's an active investigation. Is that a requirement?
Yeah, it's like we do with our Davis system or driver's license system or even our criminal history. I don't think people understand. We already have protocols for stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put only a certain, there's only a certain three or four purposes. And you have to put those in there, whether it is a case number or a type of a case. I think we probably do both of those. I can't recall which one, but we do have to put the information in. The ones that log the system, they do log why there's a query and what the purpose is for this vehicle tag. And they put in the investigator who to contact. So it doesn't do us any good just for the analyst. So we have a bunch of information that we put in there. So that if the tag comes up, that we know, again, we knew why it was in there and we know who to call about that particular query.
I did want to give you a chance if you had any thoughts, and feel free to say you don't have any, whatever, about the White House Correspondents Association. This is now the third time we've had an attempt on the president's life that we know of. But, you know, obviously a lot of unusual circumstances, especially with the shooting and who got shot and who shot at. But, you know, I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to share your perspective on any of this.
I don't know. I know that having worked with the Secret Service on a number of details when they're here, and they're even more heightened than they probably have ever been, I still find it odd that you allow an individual, even right outside the room or outside the building, that has access to it. I think that the time is probably gone that the president can go to an event that's not at the White House or that's not secured. Again, this is not the first time he's had his life in danger.
Yeah,
I think that you've got to pay. Times have changed. People are a little crazy. Some people are unhinged, and I think that if you're going to have either an outdoor event or if you're going to have an event that you can't properly contain out in and outside, I think that you should probably reevaluate those things. And
yeah,
they've done that historically. You know, they've tightened things up and tightened things up. And tighten things up for years now, for decades now. So I don't know that I have a comment. I don't have any criticism. I just think that you've got to understand that when you're near a hotel or at a hotel, it's almost impossible to really fully check every room and every person.
You know, it's interesting. Rick Scott, we just had him on about a half hour ago, and he kind of said the same thing. It's like one of the reasons he didn't go is because it's like, I mean, you know, I don't think you can make it safe. You just can't make these things safe. Hey, last thing before we let you go, we're totally out of time, but Cookie with a Cop is coming up at Chick-fil-A on the 30th of this month in 2 days.
Yeah, on Thursday, the 20th, we have it from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m., and it's the Chick-fil-A on Bayou Boulevard. And, you know, it's a little bit of a play on the coffee with a Cop.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone loves coffee. I don't drink coffee very much, but I'm a fan of cookies. And they got some pretty good ones at Chick-fil-A. So we're wanting people to swing by 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Come visit us and come meet and visit the fine folks at Chick-fil-A on Bayou Boulevard this Thursday, April the 30th.
Outstanding. Chip Simmons is our sheriff in Escambia County, as always, sir. I appreciate the time. Safe travels as you return home, and I look forward to you enjoying your crossing of the bridge and feeling like you're finally back in your domain again. We'll talk to you again next week. And, of course, that was yesterday, so it's tomorrow at the Chick-fil-A on Bayou, and always good to talk with Chip about stuff. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, Channel 3 reporting, following up on all of this, that the conversation he had with the 850 folks was productive, primarily focused on getting them to implement some security in their parking lot where both of these shootings have taken place. The no loitering, he said, was an important part of that, but other elements as well, which is, you know, progress, improvement, good news. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are very productive at this, you know, prolific, really. 209 homes sold last year. That's a crazy number. 175 3 years ago, 165 2 years ago. It was over 200 when the market was easy. And everybody was selling, you know, every home. List it, sell it, list it, sell it, list it, sell it. Well, it got harder. And as a result of that, some people, you know, are not able to sell homes. So they take over listings from people. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to say all the time, but it's pretty routine. They're the second realtor or the third realtor or the... I kid you not, the seventh realtor, actually, I think it was the eighth because like seven other realtors had failed in one case. Anyway, they take over listings all the time when they get the thing sold. 209 times last year. So back up in a down market, you know, nothing has really changed. Interest rates are still pretty terrible compared to what they had been. People are still reluctant. People are still concerned about the economy. And yet they're making sales happen all the time. Why? Well, because they know how. They know how to solve the problems. They get all the way to closing. They know how to stage, list, to photograph everything in order to get the end result of selling it. Or... if you're trying to buy a home, they're very good at that as well, of course. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
$10,000 for me by myself. For that, you get the head, the tail, the whole damn thing.
So UAE is going to leave OPEC, which they're not a major producer, but they're one of the few producers within OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, which includes like Iran and, you know, it's like 10 different countries that are in it. But they're not a major producer compared to Saudi Arabia, which is the hugest producer. But they're one of the few that has surplus capacity and a significant amount of it. You know, they can ramp up or restrict. And part of this, they've been investing in production, and they don't think OPEC is able to let them sell what they want to sell. But also, OPEC's ability to control the market is dependent on its ability to go up and down in supply. And if the organization loses its capacity to go up in supply because it loses one of its producers that can go up in supply, that's a loss of power overall for OPEC.